Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
So hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. My name's Pete Allison and here is Dave Cribb.
Oh yeah.
No. No.
Ahoy hoy. I did an accidental oh yeah on correspondence app on the weekend, if you haven't heard it, and Pete hates it, which makes me sort of want to do it more. But it
makes
is weird.
Me quite uncomfortable.
Yeah. Like, I'll be honest, it's not my finest. But there's something quite... Try it, honestly. There's something quite satisfying about it. Try it.
No.
Go on.
No.
Go on.
I'm literally not doing that.
Okay, I get you. I get you one day. Let's make that the catchphrase, guys, when we're doing like a live show next.
Absolutely
not. You
ought
to go up to Pete and go, oh, yeah.
No.
Hey, great start to the podcast this week. We started recording and I hadn't pushed record, so that was good. That was decent. So the good news is, if you're listening to this now, that means we have successfully recorded it this time. We're also got a bit of a episode admin to do, haven't we?
Right, so let's explain.
Yeah.
Firstly, this week's episode has been requested by Alex.
Alex, ahoy hoy.
And she's requested The One in Barbados, which is the season...
Sorry, Pete, do you want to pronounce that correctly?
Oh, Barbados.
Barbados.
Which is the season 9 finale. Now, only when we went to watch this did we realise that it's actually a double-length episode. Mm. It's a whole 50 minutes.
Too long for any two men to watch in one go, isn't it, Pete?
So we're going to split it up. Alex, you get 2 weeks to shine. Well, you won't really be shining. We're just spending 2 weeks on your episode. So we've already determined at which point, because there isn't a really obvious point, at which point in the 50 minutes we're going to talk up to, which is the end of the scene where, spoiler alert, Mike proposes to Phoebe.
Yeah, exactly. And... actually, Pete, what I think you've done is, because you sort of were like, oh, I'll just find a place and stop. But I think that is actually the place that they will have split the episodes. But it's quite hard to actually find that information on the internet, it turns out.
If you are watching it and you're streaming it, it's about 27 minutes in. So
yeah.
That's how far we're going into this episode this week, and we'll do the rest next week.
Monica goes, because of our meddling. And then it goes, ding, 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 ding. It's big old music, which definitely to me has the vibe of a sort of end of episode sting, you know?
And it is the bit that sort of knocks the Phoebe bit on the head, isn't it? So
yes, exactly, exactly. Before we get into the second half, which is it's sort of more Joey and Rachel, isn't it, really?
Well, I didn't watch. I literally stopped.
No, I just mean from memory. No, so did I, actually. Yeah. I stopped. But we're getting sort of the ticklings of the start of the Joey and Rachel proper thing now, aren't we, in this first half?
So you saying the ticklings of... I've literally just watched a TV programme in which that phrase was used.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, no, thankfully that wasn't in it. And I thought, when I've just seen it on telly, that's a strange phrase. And then you've just gone and used it within about 20 minutes.
What context did they use?
I was watching, have you seen Unforgotten?
No.
It's like an ITV crime drama. It's very good. They sort of got a clue to something and he was like, well, there's the tickling of something there.
It's a more common phrase than you thought, eh? To be honest, when I was saying it, I thought, this isn't the phrase I wanted at all.
Well, it worked.
Yeah, well, there you go. So there you go. God, we're coining new catchphrases all over the place, mate, aren't we?
Shall we have a tickling of this week's request?
A tickling of the request from Alex. as Pete's already said. I'll tell you what, an unusual request method this week, Pete.
From memory, it was... Was it via Instagram story?
On her Instagram story, which I'm quite into. Yeah. So she did a story. So we had to catch it within 24 hours. And fair play to us that we did. I say as you definitely did it. Yeah. She said on her Instagram story, to the mega FWF pod, I have to confess my least favourite episode is the one where no one's ready. We're not going to get on, are we? But I adore Monica and I don't like Mike. He just doesn't fit in, feels crammed in. Team David. I presume there's a picture behind the story, Pete, that sort of makes that jump make sense. Do you know what I mean?
I'll be honest, mate. Can't remember.
Can't remember, yeah. I would love you to do the one in Barbados, mainly for Monica's hair and the ping pong. Okay, well, the ping pong isn't even this week, so that's next week. But we can do a bit of Monica's hair. That's a sort of tiny subplot of the first half of the Barbados episode. It's worth saying that Alex then panicked this week when she knew that we were going to start talking about the one in Barbados, that she'd chosen a really bad episode, didn't she?
Well, it's because we slightly were a bit like, ugh.
Oh, were we? Oh, I didn't remember being, ugh.
I think we're a bit like, ugh, we've got that one, have we?
Oh, really? Oh, no,
there was a touch of that. There was a touch of it.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realise we'd given off that.
I think that's what sparked Alex's panic.
Is it? Oh, well, that's bad news.
Because I think she said her other half also questioned, why did you choose that one?
Right.
But then, with retrospect, we now understand that it's because, you know, she wasn't keen on Mike, and that makes a lot of sense. Well, it doesn't make a lot of sense that you don't like Mike, because Mike's great.
Yeah, there is a lot to be said about the sort of Phoebe, David, Mike... triangle there it is.
Triangle, yes.
It was a try word. But we will get on to that shortly. Here is the synopsis of part one. Part one's production code, Pete, 175273. Synopsis goes as follows. The gang goes to Barbados for Ross's conference. David, brackets Phoebe, scientist guy, we know David is Wikipedia, almost proposes to her, but her ex-boyfriend Mike proposes first. Ross and Charlie find they have a lot in common. Rachel and Joey start to grow closer and Monica's hair reacts to the humidity.
I like that gets its own section.
Yeah, I did start in my notes a section about Monica's hair, then realised it was just about three references, so it didn't deserve its own segment, as it were. But we've got so the three plots in this first half are sort of the aforementioned ticklings of Rachel and Joey. Should we start with that and then get on to sort of Phoebe and David and the sort of Joey, Ross, Charlie thing?
Yeah, it's a hard one because Joey's sort of involved in two bits of it, isn't it?
Yes. And it's another one, like we had, was it last week or the week before, where Chandler's not really involved in any of them, but sort of dips in and out of them all it's a really good Chandler episode, this. But the Rachel and Joey thing, it's basically the start of the thing we were talking about last week's episode, wasn't it? Ross's tan. It starts, they get to Barbados, don't they? And Rachel's like, oh, I'm all sad. I'm not getting anyone to share this romantic hotel in the rain with. It's not that romantic, is it?
It also, it's a bit of an odd hotel, isn't it? It feels like an odd set. They're all sort of in one place, in one set.
Yes, yeah. Well, this is the whole thing about the Barbados episode, unlike, say, the London one or the Vegas one. Is that they haven't actually gone to? Oh, they didn't get to Vegas either, did they? No, they just don't go anywhere, really, do they?
It's very obvious. There's that point, isn't there, where Ross draws back the curtains to show the rain, and it almost looks like someone's just holding a watering can outside.
Yeah, someone's put up a big picture of a beach, and then literally doing a power hose from the top of the window, aren't they? But yeah, I'd have been livid if I was them. They're like, the season finale, guys, the one in Barbados. I'd have been like, hell yes, here we go. Where are we filming this? Oh, just the same place, next to Central Perk. Cool. So the Rachel and Joey part of this first half, though, isn't actually very extensive, is it? They sort of just start to spend a bit of time together because Ross and Charlie have to work on Ross's speech, which gets wiped by Anna Kournikova. More on that later.
Well, there's that bit, isn't there, where Joey keeps patting Rachel's boob when he puts that sticker on it. And we're led to believe that within this episode, there's sort of enough sexual chemistry for them to get with each other, when actually all it is Joey tapping an adhesive sticker on Rachel's boob.
I mean, it's weird in itself that he's just doing that. He goes back in for more, as it were. But yeah, it doesn't scream chemistry, does it, at this stage?
No, absolutely not.
But the bit, I guess, where Joey is sort of teasing Rachel about, ooh, you like someone, tell me who, you do get a little sense of a little something something there, in fairness to them, you know? I think that's about the most sort of believable it's been. But what I think they do set up quite well is the fact that, like, you get the sense that Joey and Rachel are the same, you know, because Ross and Charlie are the same, and you do get the sense that these two are just like, bollocks to this boring stuff, we're off to have fun.
Yeah, they're off to go get a few drinks and stuff, aren't they? And they're excluded from those conversations between Charlie and Ross about the science of it all.
Yeah, and they don't care either, do they? They're both bored by it and they want to leave and, you know, crash a pharmaceutical convention.
There is a really good example of Joey's regression to just being a child towards the end of the, towards the end of Friends, because there's that bit where he planned on taking a child's spade to the beach to dig.
And he can't go. And when he can't go, he literally sits on the edge of the bed and sulks.
Yeah.
Like, he's a grown-up. You know, his girlfriend's there, his mate's there working at this conference, and he literally has a fucking face like a slapped ass, sits on the edge of the bed and properly sulks that he can't dig a big hole.
Poor Joey.
I know. The only other thing of note I would like to say is that Rachel puts on a fake name that says Kate Miller on her badge. You know, the badge that you talked about Joey patting down. And Kate Miller was the name of Kate, the actor that Joey dated. And
I thought that name felt a bit familiar.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a deliberate sort of nod back or they just forgot that there was a character called Kate Miller in Friends writing this and just sort of picked a name out. But yeah. Or maybe a whole other backstory, Pete, and Kate Miller, the actor, has retrained as a pharmacist.
And she's there.
And she's at the pharmaceutical conference. I think that's probably the most likely, actually, of all the scenarios, don't you?
Also, Barbados is a long way to go for a conference.
Well, not only is it a long way to go for a conference, they reference the 5-hour flight. I don't know how accurate that is, because Friends isn't necessarily good at sort of travel accuracy. But we'll come on to it in a minute. This is the bloody way to go, long way to go for a conference. Also, a really long way for Mike to just hop on a plane and go, isn't it?
Yes, and yet still make it in time for the proposal.
Yeah, with no luggage, seemingly.
Yeah.
Just wanders in. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. Should we sign off on the Joey and Rachel thing for the time being?
Yeah, I think there's more of that next week, isn't there?
Yeah. Bye now. I'm not sure why I said bye. Weird, still wasn't it? But it's still here. Just bye for about 3 seconds while we played a little bit of music. What do you want to do next then? Phoebe and David or sort of the Ross Charlie speech thing?
Let's do the Ross Charlie bit.
Yeah, okay, because this is sort of the crux of the whole episode, isn't it? But, I mean, the crux is that they're off to a paleontology conference.
Well, right at the start, Joey talks about travelling with Charlie on the plane, right?
Bit of a weird line, isn't it?
He makes some sort of comment about covering themselves with a blanket and then doing what comes naturally, right?
Yeah.
Is he intending to get wanked off under a blanket? Is that what he's sort of suggesting?
I can only assume, yeah. Like, it's, you can't have like full sex under a blanket on a plane, can you? So I think it is just put the blanket on and, you know, have a fumble.
A wank blanket. A wank it.
A wank it. Oh, new idea for merch. A woof wank it.
Oh, you could embroider those.
On the back, it'll say, oh, yeah.
No. No.
But yeah, it's such a weird line, isn't it? They're just like, hey, guys, we're off to a paleontology convention. And Joey's basically like, cool, let's go get wanked off. Here we go. Very odd. I really enjoy Rachel's line. There's some really funny lines in this for sort of this late Friends era. But when Ross is saying, oh, I swung you all these passes and, you know, they'll get you into all of the paleontology events. And Rachel just goes, do you have anything that will get us out of them?
Yeah, that is good. I also like that when it cuts between New York to Barbados, the way that they sort of signify that you've moved is by doing the music between scenes on steel drums. It's like, how do we show that we've moved location? Yeah. Get a steel drum involved.
Yeah, it's a TV show. I think we'd have clocked it from the fact they were in a different place and in a hotel, clearly in clearly not in Barbados, but clearly implied to be, you know? So they arrive at this big hotel and Joey sort of gets all, I think it's a bit like when Joey's in London and he's a bit homesick and confused by everything, isn't it? But he's all of a fluster because no one recognises him. They all think Ross is a celebrity. It's all backwards, basically, like he says.
Another great line is, you don't own a TV, what's all your furniture pointed at?
I say that remarkably often. Only when I meet people that don't know have TVs.
I assume that in that situation, you point the furniture sort of at each other. You sort of point the seating at each other so you have a conversation.
Yeah, I imagine it'd be some sort of thing in the room, like maybe a fireplace or just some sort of feature element, you know, yeah. that everything's sort of gathered around, maybe. But, I mean, when was genuinely the last time you went to a house that didn't have a television?
Like, possibly never.
No. Weirdly, I think I did fairly recently, and I can't remember it. It's not a great story, is it?
These days, well, you've got a laptop, haven't you? And that's basically a telly.
Right, yeah. Yes, someone I know. Who has it?
Alice Levine doesn't have a TV.
Alice Levine doesn't have a TV, does she not?
That's a weird reference, isn't it? That I'll probably cut out, but I've heard her talk about it on My Dad Wrote a Porno.
Well, leave it in, mate. She's a perfect example.
Yeah. Alice Levine off of My Dad Wrote a Porno. I think she doesn't have a TV.
It would be very in keeping with her sort of vibe, wouldn't
it? Victorian character. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't watch the television. I listen to the wireless of an evening with a cup of Ovaltine. Also one of those sort of slightly weird, completely not relevant to the plot line at all little Friends jokes where Joey sort of goes, oh, you might recognise me from The Days of Our Lives. And Ross sort of just goes, there's no there. It's just such a weird, like, what a weird idea for a joke to have had in the room. Do you know what I mean? In the writer's room. But they just chuck it in and it's very funny. Like, it very much tickled me. What didn't tickle me, and I'll be honest, confused me a lot, was the whole scene about a thong.
Yeah, because I thought it was Australians who called flip-flops thongs.
Yes. A, that. B, why would... Yeah, I mean, maybe they do call them thongs in America, but why... What does he mean when he says thong? Does he mean like maybe like a swimsuit thong?
He means like underwear, doesn't he?
Yeah, I know, but she walks in like dressed for the day, you know? And he goes, oh, you were going to wear a thong. Like, what's
then he must mean a swimsuit one.
Yeah, is he sort of expecting her to just wander around in some underwear in the middle of the day?
Doesn't she walk into the hotel room?
Yeah. Exactly. She walks into the room. He's like, I thought you were going to wear a thong. Like, what? I just genuinely don't understand what he's
maybe
getting
I will
there.
Joey, but not in a public hallway.
Yeah, exactly. And then she says we can have dinner later on, and Joey's retort is, will you wear a thong?
Just yes.
Why is he suddenly obsessed with thongs?
There's an episode where he wears women's underwear, isn't there?
Yes, there is. Yeah. And he really enjoys it, actually. It's a good classic example of Joey being quite progressive and just comfortable in his own skin, isn't it? But this is around the time he's talking about digging a big hole as well. It's just like what a weird vibe that whole scene is. Like, oh, yeah. I want to dig a big hole with my child's spade. Also, where's your thong? Weird. It's really odd. And then we get the classic Friends alarm for the strange tech-based storyline.
I mean, I think it's less than 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Chandler manages to allow a virus to remove Ross's entire hard drive. Like, I can remember the quite intense fear of allowing a virus in on your computer at that period in modern history.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a 5 seconds thing. I think it's a sort of... There was a bit of doom, wasn't there, when you sort of would watch on as it did something and everything disappeared.
I'm pretty sure nothing ever completely disappeared as well. Like, it just did. Didn't it just, like, fuck stuff up a bit? Like, nobody... I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong and people have had this experience, but I'm pretty sure... You didn't just click an email and your entire computer basically exploded.
You know that gif of that old person who drags my computer into the waste paper thing on the computer and then the actual computer disappears? Yeah. It feels a bit like Chandler does that, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Like the actual laptop's gone.
The whole thing's just disappeared in the space of half a second. Actually, someone on the writing about this did a little computer-based fact and said, in 2003, an average computer hard drive was approximately 20 to 30 gigabytes. I mean, that is hilarious, isn't it now? But even if the laptop only had half of that, there's no way it could have been erased in the time it takes Chandler to open an email. Yeah, I mean, it's a real odd, like, we don't really understand computers reference, isn't it? But maybe at this point, nobody really did.
He should have saved a backup copy on a floppy disk.
Yeah, exactly, get it on your floppy disk. Fax it to yourself.
Floppy disks were still on at this point, weren't they?
Floppy disks were very much still on, mate. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of... This whole scene is... I'd say the whole rest of the episode pretty much could stand now in 2021, right? But this whole scene between the virus, like computer viruses, wiping a hard drive, there is a floppy disk in the next half of the episode, isn't there? And then the references to Anna Kournikova really dates this bit.
By the way, can we just have a moment for the fact that floppy disks are called floppy disks? It's just like, what should we call it? Well, it's a bit floppy. Should we just call it that? Yeah, fine.
And then the new, smaller floppy disks weren't even floppy.
Yeah.
They were exactly the opposite of floppy. The flopposite.
Stiff disk.
Stiff disk. And even before Chandler wipes it, it's such a weird vibe. And this did remind me of being a kid and wanting to go on a computer and having to ask permission for to go on a computer. But yeah. Chandler's like really sheepish about wanting to check his emails.
We used to have a... me and my sister used to have like a rota each evening.
Did you?
Where there'd be like a half-hour window where we were allowed to play on the computer.
What were you playing?
I can remember a game called So You Want to Be a Pop Star... Where you like
that is exactly the sort of game I would imagine you play.
You assembled like a pop group, and then they always went to number one, which was a nice ending. And what else did we play?
Was it like sort of Championship Manager but for a pop band?
Yeah, and we also had a game of Cluedo, which was actually really scary because it's sort of. There'd be flashes of lightning and people would get bludgeoned around the head, and it was actually quite frightening.
Oh, yeah, I do vaguely remember that, actually.
Memories.
There you go, memories of the old computer.
Why, what were you playing?
A lot of Championship Manager and Monkey Island. Do you remember Monkey Island?
No, what was Monkey Island?
The Curse of Monkey Island.
One
of the greatest games.
Why was Monkey Island cursed?
It was a whole thing, mate. It was a whole pirate-based thing, and you had to go around and solve puzzles and that. It's great. Oh. Go and have a look at it, mate. You can still get it on the iPad. I think I bought it in sort of a nostalgia trip a couple of years ago, but I haven't played it.
Also, Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Oh, a lot of that. And Theme Hospital and Theme Park, yeah. And all those ones. Yes, yeah, please. Right. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Weird computer storylines. Exactly. But yeah, when Chandler sort of comes in and he's like, oh, can I read your speech on your computer? And I was like, if you want to check your emails. Like, as if he's doing something really weird and outrageous. He's just checking his emails.
Yeah, there's no shame in that.
No, until he opens the Anna Kournikova one.
Well, true.
But yeah, again, sort of strange dated references. But then the speech has gone, unbelievably. Ross hasn't printed out a hard copy. I put one on a floppy disk. So Charlie basically offers to help him recreate it because Ross has just read it out to her.
And Ross and Charlie do make a lot of sense as a couple, bonding over their previously gay partners. There's quite a clear connection between them both, which I know it's trying to highlight, isn't it? Because it's trying to make you see why they're a better fit for each other. But even beyond the point they get to when Charlie goes back to her ex, you know, it feels like they could have been a thing.
Could have been a good thing, those guys. Joey, it's a really nice moment of Joey being a good friend again as well, isn't there? When sort of Charlie says, oh, I'd help you, but I'm supposed to be having dinner with Joey. And Joey, like, doesn't bat an eyelid and just goes, oh, no, of course, no, don't do that. Go and help Ross do his thing, you know? He's just a good friend, Joey Tribbiani, isn't he?
He is.
A good egg, I'd say, you know, JT. When they do finish the speech, though, Ross sits on the bed and says, thank you. And he sits... So they have a moment, right, when their faces are quite close. But why are they that close? Why is he sitting that creepily close to her on the bed to say thank you for the speech? He just sort of sits down and goes, oh, thank you. But it's uncomfortably close.
Sexual tension, Dave. It's sexual tension.
I know, but the sexual tension only arises because he's chosen to sit in a bizarrely close proximity to her. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, true.
But there you go. And that's sort of where we leave this bit of the storyline. They successfully recreate Ross's speech, don't they? And then Rachel and Joey come back and they both peel off, and Ross and Rachel are both looking sad as Joey and Charlie go to dinner.
Do a little sigh, don't they? A matching sigh.
A little matching sigh. It's a strange era of friends, isn't it? With Ross and Rachel both pining after somebody else. And
it really is, yeah.
But there you go. The only other line of note in that storyline for me, which I very much enjoyed, is when Rachel A goes, this happens all the time at my work. To my computer, as in, like, we wipe the hard drives all the time. It's like, come on, lads, be a bit better. But then she says, when they says, what do you do? She goes, oh, I just usually go and play Tetris on someone else's computer. Lovely references to Anna Kournikova and Tetris to take us into the advertorial break, Peter.
It's an S-Pod thing. The podcast revisiting S Club 7's insane TV show.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone's binge-watched this. Anyone who's not on drugs.
Thank you for bringing this into my life. It was honestly truly appalling.
Guests helped me analyse the show in more detail than anyone ever asked for.
It feels weird to me to say the phrase sex object in a show that was aimed at six-year-olds.
Do you think there's one of the problems with the show is that 7 is too much?
It's an S-Pod thing from Great Big Owl.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Oh, David. Poor old David.
He's quite hard done by, isn't he?
He is quite hard done by, and in two ways. One, just the way it all pans out for him. But B, they're clearly positioning David at the moment to be almost just a bit of a weirdo. Do you know what I mean? Like, when Phoebe and David were first together, it was proper electric, and there was this excitement, and she was really in love with him, wasn't she? And he had to leave to go to Minsk and blah, blah, blah. But there was a proper, like, we could be soulmates, even though it's weird and we don't seem to fit on paper vibe. But now they've obviously decided they need to get Mike back in with Phoebe, and to do that they just seem to be like, right, let's make David a bit of a creepy weirdo.
He's so polite, isn't he? Because there's that whole bit a little bit later in where he sort of lets Mike have his seat because he says, oh, well, that's fair, you had a long trip.
Yeah.
And gets up and move.
Yeah.
He is really funny in this, David, but he's very hard done by, and it's almost like it's not socially awkward, but he's such like a gent, so polite, that he in the end kind of does himself a disservice by not holding his ground a bit more.
Yes, well, exactly. And it's a very neat and quick way of getting rid of, you know, he's out of there so quickly, isn't he? Like,
yeah.
In terms of what he had planned for that evening, he's like, I'm going to propose to Phoebe. She's probably going to say yes. And to go from that to him literally leaving the hotel and flying home to New York within the space of about 2.5 minutes when Mike arrives is like, surreal. Bugger off, David. You are no longer required in this group of friends.
And also, Phoebe doesn't really say bye to him. It's just...
No.
She just is so infatuated with the moment she's having with Mike.
Yeah.
Which isn't even a proposal in the end. It's just a let's get back together.
Yeah.
That off David goes into the sunset.
He just sort of wanders off, doesn't he? Like, yeah, exactly. Just like he's like nipping to the loo or something. But it's like, nope, that's it. That's literally the last time we ever see you.
Also, David does attempt to propose within seconds of sitting down for dinner.
Yeah, his proposal technique. Well, this whole thing, I mean, he is, like you say, he's become quite socially awkward. He's being peddled to be a bit of an oddball, but his whole proposal technique is mad and ineffective, isn't it?
It's not very romantic.
No, it's very unromantic, isn't it? They're just having dinner next to Monica and Chandler. It's like, you might as well just be saying, like, what do you want to do in the morning? Where should we visit?
Yeah.
He just goes, you want to marry me? Type. It's basically that. I mean, I know he doesn't get to the proposal, but he does have loads of great lines there. Like Hank Azaria, despite David becoming this slight oddball, the way he delivers, like, you know, like that line you said about, oh, that's fair, you've had a long trip. But all just the little bits where Mike proposes and he's doing the little interjections and then Phoebe says no and David leans in and goes, ha-ha. And all those bits. And, well, I'm going to take off. It's like he delivers those lines so well. They're very, very funny. But this sort of goes back to what we said about Joey and Rachel last week, about how the fact they just don't have any spark. And they do. They've beaten out any sense of chemistry from Phoebe and David, haven't they, by now?
Yeah, it's all gone because he's so sort of... Well, the fact he's turning to Chandler for advice throughout this isn't the best look, is it, for him?
No, I mean, this is the second episode in a row where people are going to Chandler for relationship advice.
He's so wise.
He is pretty wisdomous. Yeah, terrible, terrible decision. So this all starts, doesn't it, before they get to Barbados, when Phoebe accidentally says, should Mike and I meet you there? Or should we share a cab to the airport? And that, all those little interactions are so funny, because she, Lisa Kudrow, plays it so well with her, like, who's, oh my God, who's Mike? And David says, your Zurich's boyfriend. And she goes, oh my God, I totally forgot about him. And all those little bits are really funny. Did you know that David only appears in 5 episodes of Friends?
I probably would have guessed about that. He's not in many at all, just feels like, well, he's in 5.
Yeah, it just feels like a few more to me. It feels like quite a big parter, but yeah, only 5,
well, he's,
I think,
sort of held in. Whenever he does appear, it's very, oh my God, love of Phoebe's life, isn't it?
So yes.
He's made to feel like top of the pile until this bit where Mike's involved.
Yeah, totally. Guess right, you know, right the other end. But like Alex, who requested this episode, is like, she's Team David. She's not really into Mike.
I like Mike.
Oh, I like Mike. I think Mike's a good addition, and I think we've talked about this before, but Paul Rudd does incredibly well to sort of become the seventh Beatle, as it were, you know?
Yeah.
In that last season particularly. But we did all like David in the past, and I think we've all forgotten that.
Yeah, fair.
A lot of strange references to Monica's hair during this bit, aren't there?
I did like when she says to Phoebe, I need to talk to you, and Phoebe replies, are you leaving the Supremes?
Yeah. And then she makes a reference to a character called Roseanne Adana.
No idea.
No, yeah. It's a character from SNL in the 70s, apparently, who had big hair. The end.
I like when Monica's on the phone and says, I can't hear through all this damn hair.
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
Yeah. Also, her hair is, like, not that remarkable a hair is. Do you know what I mean? Like, no. When Mike arrives, he goes, Chandler, Monica, oh my God, as if she's like, she looks preposterous, but she just looks like she's got frizzy hair. It's not really a out of the ordinary look, is it?
Of course, Monica's hair, is it in the second half of this episode where she gets it braided?
Yes, it will be. Or no, that might be the first episode of the next.
That's what I was thinking.
The next season.
So we've got that cultural appropriation to look forward to.
Yes, I think we might just skip past that in the second half of this episode. I think that's when they go back to New York, isn't it?
Right, fine. For another day.
Yes, leave that for another time. So yeah, Monica calls Mike, starts the meddling. I mean, to be fair to Monica, she does say to Mike, why don't you give Phoebe a call? Here's where she is in the hotel. And then Mike's like, do you know what? Bollocks to that. I'm going to get on a 5-hour flight. Like, and I'll be there by dinner. Like, what a preposterous decision from old Mike Hannigan that was.
It is an odd one.
And that's the end of David, isn't it? That's a wrap on David. He's like, we never see him again. I think he's brilliant. There's a few, I've written so many of his little lines down that he does so well, where he's talking about the ring, and he's like, being a failed scientist doesn't pay as well as you think. And then he's sort of explaining the ring to Chandler. Like, it's 1/70th of a carat, and the clarity is quite poor. And the way he delivers all those lines are so nice. He's so good. So yeah, sayonara, Dave. You're gone.
We all know, of course, where this episode is heading, but we'll have to save that for next week.
We shall, indeed. Now, I've got a question about the quiz.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to answer a couple of questions from the quiz and then stop. I'll tell you what, I'll look ahead this week, Dave. Yeah,
fine, okay. I'll play the music, and then we'll battle the quiz as we go.
And I can now reveal that you will face 3 of Amy's 5 questions.
Okay.
Okay. We're potentially doing a quiz for an episode neither of us have watched, but let's see how this goes. Question 1, what's the name of the man who is a big fan of Ross?
He's called Jarvis, but I don't think that's in the first half. I think that's the second half, right?
Right, well, there you go. He is called Jarvis.
Oh, there you go. Well, we can test our actual knowledge just having not watched it.
What is the first topic to be covered in Ross's speech?
Oh, I just remember him talking about Pangaea, hello, and all those bits, but I can't remember the first topic now. What is it?
It's the shortcomings of carbon dating.
Carbon dating? No.
This one's definitely in this first half.
Yeah.
Which paleontology celebrity does Ross spot?
Kenneth Schwartz.
Give him his title.
Dr. Kenneth Schwartz.
Correct.
I remember that because I Googled him to see if he was real.
Question 4 is definitely not in this bit. And question 5, No, that's definitely emphasis in the second bit. Second so, half. Yeah.
Great.
Done.
Half a quiz. Good half a quiz, everyone.
Dave, why don't you ask what episode we're doing next week?
Hey, Pete, what episode are we doing next week?
We're doing the, from the 27th minute onwards of The One in Barbados.
The One in Barbados, part two. Another week of shining in the sun for Alex. Shining in the sun? In the spotlight, that's what I meant. And we will leave you with, this is one of my favourite little snippets from the first episode we've just watched that I forgot to mention earlier, but Monica comes in to Chandler and says, "I hope you're happy." And he just replies, "Oh, I hope you're happy too, honey." And it's great. Really, really good. I should bring that into everyday life. That's all, isn't it, Pete?
I think that's all.
That is toot and a s'more. See you next week.
Yeah, see you then.
Yeah, all right then. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.